Well, good morning. It's lovely to see you all today. I don't know if the weather knows whether or not it's to shine or to rain this morning, but it's good to be in God's house, isn't it, to be able to share together. Just a few notices before we start our service this morning. Cards available in the meeting room for open doors. So please see John and Heather Temple if you want more information about that. I think Maxine's just going to come and just remind us if we don't already know what's imminently going to be occurring as of tomorrow. So, Maxine.
I promise it's not going to be long. So it's Alpha tomorrow. It's the last day. It's your last chance to speak to that person, that one person that you've been thinking about, praying about, hoping about, to invite them to come along. You can come with them. You can come on your own. It's going to be 6:30 tomorrow night. There'll be food. And then at 7:30 we start. So if you can't get here till 7:30, that's fine too. If you can't be with us, please pray for us. We're going to need every prayer we've got in this church to reach out and meet where God's taken us on Monday. So please think of that. After the service, if you could sign up, or if you know someone's coming, put their name on the list so we've got an idea and a plan so we can sort for the food. Okay, we're going to take some time, just have prayer time about this. I'm going to ask you to think of that person. And even if that person's in another country and you're hoping and praying they're going to come to know God, hold on to them. Have their image in your head so that we can pray. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." This is your opportunity to walk that path. Heavenly Father, oh, we praise you. We praise your perfect and holy name. We thank you for everything you're doing in this church family. You've done amazing things already in our lives, but we know you're doing more. You're stirring up an energy and a strength in each one of us sitting here. Not one person is able to shy away from you and what you have planned if they just step out in faith. So I ask, Father God, as we walk towards you and we think of these people that are on our hearts, the faces that we're imagining right now and we're imaging right now, Lord, that you will bless every one of them, and each one of them is going to find that pathway to come to you. Father, we're going to trust that you've got this covered. We're going to place them in your hands right now, Lord God, and we're going to ask you, bring your word, bring your spirit. Make us brave so that when we leave here today, we talk to those people that we've wanted to. Those people we keep thinking, oh, I can't do it today, or something's got in the way. Help us to be brave enough, Lord God. In Philippians 4:13, it says, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." We ask this in your perfect name, Jesus. Amen.
God is our refuge and shield, and we can put our hope in his word. Before we sing our first song this morning, let's just have a quick moment of prayer. Here we are, Lord, your people, your church meeting together in your presence. We welcome each other and we welcome you. Make yourselves known to us in new ways through our worship, our prayers, and our understanding of your word today. This is your day, and we shall praise you. This is your day, and we shall declare your name. This is your day, and we shall worship a risen Saviour and our King. Let's stand together and sing our first song this morning. How great thou art. Let's stand together.
Thank you.
seated. How great thou art. What a fantastic hymn that is, isn't it, as we sing it together and we share of how good God actually is. Annalise is going to come now and she's going to pray with us.
When Nick asked me if I would pray during the service today, I thought I would share with you what we did in last month's prayer hour. This is a time when we meet together on a Saturday morning once a month for a focused prayer time with a creative spin. Last month, we looked at our hands. We drew around them and we used each of our fingers as a prayer prompt. So as we pray today, look at your hand. I will pray and then I will pause for you to add your own prayers. Let us pray. Father God, we are so thankful that you are there for us always, listening to us as we pray to you and sharing our burdens, our sorrows, and our joys. Today we ask you to hear our prayers. Our thumbs represent the people we are closest to, our family and our friends, and the situations that they may be facing that need our prayer. Father God, we place into your hands our friends and family today. Father God, hear our prayers. Our pointing finger encourages us to pray for those who point us in the right direction and who encourage us. Father God, today we place into your hands the leaders of the church, those around the world, in the UK and here in our community. We pray that you will guide your church into these things that are honouring to you and help us to shine your light into the community. I want to pray today for the leaders of Alpha, which starts here tomorrow. Fill them anew with the Holy Spirit so that they can be beacons of light to those who are curious and want to know more about you. We pray too for those coming along to hear more about you, that they may be encouraged to walk with you, Lord. We pray today for Christians around the world who cannot freely worship you, but who faithfully do, despite the danger they are in. We bring our prayers to you now. Father, hear our prayers. Our middle finger encourages to take time to pray for the things of this world that lay heavy on our hearts and minds. Father God, we place into your hands all the situations around the world that worry us, upset us and anger us, the things we have little or no control over. We bring before you today, Lord, the people of North Korea. Borders are completely closed and they are running out of food and medicine, and many are being treated terribly. We bring before you the people in Ukraine, and in particular all those affected by flooding after the dam was destroyed. We bring before you the families of the migrants lost at sea. Father, hear our prayers. Our ring finger is the weakest, and so this prompts us to pray for those who are weak, in trouble, ill, or grieving. In particular, we bring the families of those affected by the events in Nottingham this week. We bring to you now, Father, the names that are on our own hearts. Father, hear our prayers. Our little finger is where we come to prayers for ourselves. Lay on God all those things that are troubling you today. But also don't forget to give thanks to the Lord for blessings you have received this week too. Father God, hear our prayers. Father God, we want to thank you that we can meet together freely to pray. That whether we are alone, with one other person, or in a group, large or small, when we speak to you, you listen and you hear us. Help us to accept that it's your will be done and that you control the timing of all things. Help us to trust in you, have faith that you will intercede, and patience to wait on you. Amen. Now next week we will be focusing on prayer again in our prayer hour, and it's going to be the Lord's Prayer. You're welcome to join us. There's no expectation for you to pray out loud unless you want to. So let us now take time to focus on the words of the Lord's Prayer as we say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The worship group are going to take their places. We're just going to have a time now of just worshipping God together. Feel free to stand as we sing or sit, but let's just enjoy worshipping God together as we just share in a couple of songs. Thank you, guys.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name. Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my death to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, though I'm found in the desert waste, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the glorious Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me. Though the world is all that it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering.
For this pain in the offering,
blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name.
Belongs to you, the Jesus Christ. house your son. On that cross, Lord, you paid the sins, the price for us all, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord, as we come to the table, Lord, and we think about what Jesus did for us, Lord. He is worthy, Lord, of all honor, all praise.
For all honor and blessing and power belongs to you. Belongs to you, belongs to you, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God.
Heavenly Father, I just pray for the youngsters as they go to their group this morning. You'll be with them. Let them have a great time as they learn new things about you. And bless us in here too, Jesus, as we come to your word now. Help us to gain something afresh from you this morning. Amen. My dad is coming wherever he is to read the word of God to us this morning. If you've got your Bibles or your tablets or you want to just follow on the screen, we're reading from Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21.
It's a privilege this morning to be able to read the word of God unhindered, isn't it? We're reading, as Nick said, from Mark 5, 21. When Jesus went back across the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. A leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, came and fell down before him, pleading with him to heal his little daughter. "She is about to die," he said in desperation. "Please come and place your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and the crowd thronged behind. And there was a woman in the crowd who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors through the years and had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had got no better. In fact, she was worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched the fringe of his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his clothing, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel that she had been healed. Jesus realized at once that healing power had come from him. So he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "All this crowd is pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You have been healed." While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from Jairus' house with the message, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus ignored their comments and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just trust in me." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter and James and John. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion and the weeping and wailing. He went inside and spoke to the people. "Why all this weeping and commotion?" he asked. "The child isn't dead, she is only asleep." The crowd laughed at him. But he told them all to go outside, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Get up, little girl." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. Her parents were absolutely overwhelmed. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what had happened, and he told them to give her something to eat. May God bless this precious word to our hearts.
look, there. He must be over there. It's difficult to see from here. I just need to get close. I know he can heal me. I know he can heal me. So many people. There's just no way I can reach him. And anyways, who will let me get anywhere close in my condition? But I've no other option. I've sacrificed everything just to get better. Nothing's worked. They took my money. Just empty promises. Try this and take that. The doctors can do nothing for me. I'm actually getting worse. But this man, this Jesus, he's different. I know he can heal me. I know he can heal me. No one even looks at me anymore. I'm an outcast, called unclean. Everyone gives me a wide berth. The law has condemned me to living isolated and friendless. I'm on my own. Oh, wait a minute. He's moving. Just one touch is all I need. If I can get behind him, if I can reach out and touch the robe, I just need to squeeze through this gap nearly there. I can hear him talking. So close. I know he can heal me. I know he can heal me. I can't stop my hand from trembling. Here goes. I know he can heal me. I know he can heal me. It stopped. It stopped. My bleeding has stopped. I feel better than I've ever done. Completely clean and made new. I knew he could heal me. I knew he would heal me. Faith, the size of a mustard seed. Here then, a story of a nameless woman suffering for 12 years, woven between a story of a dying 12-year-old nameless girl. Both see her reaching out to Jesus, Jairus reaching out publicly, falling at the feet of Jesus and pleading for the life of his daughter. The woman, in her shame and desperation, secretly reaching for the merest touch of a garment. Firstly, I simply want to point out that whatever the need, Jesus can meet it. How many times do we see in the Gospels that Jesus meets a need? He came to seek and save the lost. He made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dumb speak. He cured diseases. We read of him casting out demons, raising the dead, and speaking into thousands of lives, teaching, correcting, convicting, and rebuking where necessary. He walked on water, could turn water into wine, multiplied food for thousands, and had command over the wind and the waves. All this to meet a need of one sort or another. He then endured the cross so that even today, needs can still be met. So I want you to be assured this very morning, if you have a need, then Jesus can meet it. Jesus himself said that the Father knows exactly what we need, even before we ask. And David wrote that we can take delight in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. We're able to come to Jesus in whatever state, knowing and believing that he can meet us. It doesn't matter our social standing, which actually means nothing to Jesus. Jairus, a prominent figure in the local synagogue. The woman, an outcast. He came for all. And I also think it really interesting that here in our story, this woman was healed whilst Jesus was actually doing something else. We read he was on his way to Jairus' house when the woman came up behind him and was healed. He's seemingly concentrating on Jairus, but also able to heal the woman at the same time. And when we come to Jesus, we actually won't find him doing something else. He meets us where we are as individuals, concentrating on us and our need. We just have to reach out to him. And we also see here that the action of the woman led to a reaction from Jesus. "Who touched me?" was Jesus' immediate response. Surely he couldn't know, could he? I mean, there are hundreds of people here, crowding round. Lots of people are touching him. "But I have been healed. I know it. I wanted to touch him. I needed to touch him." He knows. He's talking directly to me and no one else. Oh, he's still looking. "Jesus, please, just start walking again. Then I can leave quietly. No one else need know. I didn't do anything wrong. You were my last hope. I'd tried everything else. But it was you who finally came through for me. I am healed." And now he wants to see me, to find me in this crowd. He's still looking around. I'm frightened now, but I have to tell him it was me. Deep breath, and here I go. Jesus wasn't going to let this lie. He knew healing power had left him. There was a specific touch. Not just anyone in the crowd, but someone needed healing. We read that the woman then came trembling and fell to his feet and confessed all. In contrast to Jairus, who came pleading for healing, the woman came and confessed to being healed. She knew it, and so did Jesus. The question, "Who touched me?" was addressed singly to the woman. It wasn't enough, you see, for her to just believe it in her heart. She also had to confess it with her mouth. Do you remember what Paul writes in Romans? "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." And this would have been no easy conversation for the woman. To verbally explain her personal condition to Jesus and the crowd must have been a very humbling but necessary in this instance. And we now see that Mark records three distinct things that Jesus said to the woman following a confession. And we read them in verse 34. Firstly, he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Jesus starts by calling her daughter, not woman. Instantly, he draws her into his family. And I really like that. No longer an outsider and on the margins, no longer separated because of Jewish law, no longer a nobody. Now she is recognized as a somebody, a family member. Jesus makes it personal. In this moment, it is all about Jesus and it's all about her. The crowds and the things going on around this meeting don't matter. Jesus had stopped and only has eyes for this one woman. It's another recorded unique encounter with the living God. And did you know that that was true for that woman? And it's also true for us too. God calls us his own. We can be adopted into his family. Romans chapter 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. The wonder and glory of the cross and the grace of God allows us to be recognized as his sons and his daughters. Just think about that for a minute. This is the relationship God would have for you and for me, to become a real, recognized part of his family. Now, Jesus could simply have continued to walk to Jairus' house, but he needed to talk to this woman, not for his sake, but for hers. She needed to hear Jesus' affirmation of acceptance. And in the Greek, the word for daughter, it's written in what's called the vocative case. It's a call for attention. Jesus not only makes it personal, he wants to make sure that she is listening. So it follows he has something important to impart. Your faith has made you well. Here, Jesus impressing on the woman what it was that had brought about the healing. A faith great enough to believe that the merest touch, the smallest contact, would result in her healing. Jesus assuring her in that moment that she had in fact been healed, not by the touch of a garment, but by her faith. She would have been happy to just slip away into the crowd, but Jesus wanted to provide a fuller understanding of how this miracle had occurred. And I wonder this morning if our faith is such that we believe that as we reach out to Jesus, he will actually meet our need. I mean, this isn't a hope that Jesus will heal, but a genuine belief that indeed he actually will. An unswerving, unwavering conviction that Jesus is able to fix us in whatever way we are broken. Faith, as small as a mustard seed, can move mountains. The second thing Jesus said to the woman was, go in peace. She came to Jesus in fear and trembling, but went away in peace. Peace here, from the root Greek word eirene, meaning wholeness, or when all the essential parts are joined together. And I imagine here that in this moment, the woman's life was put back together. She would now be able to worship in the temple, join the congregation, and become a full member of society again. No longer called unclean, but clean. Her life would never ever be the same again. And no matter how much our lives become messed up and broken, Jesus is able to put us back together again. He provides that peace which the world cannot give. Peace of heart and mind. Like the woman, we only have to reach out to him and trusting in his saving grace. God will do the work. The last thing that Jesus said to the woman, your suffering is over. A clear statement that her ailment had come to an end and wasn't coming back. Jesus gives her security for the future. She's now able to get on with her life, knowing that she wasn't going to need anything more. Her healing was complete. We too can be confident in the fact that our futures are secure in Jesus. He himself said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. We cannot be separated from God, no matter what life throws at us, good or bad. I had to look away when he looked at me. Those eyes. They saw into my very being, but not a cold, hard stare, just full of warmth, love, and compassion. I just felt loved. For the first time in 12 years, I felt love. He didn't ask my name. He didn't need to. He called me daughter. Can you believe that? I felt as though I finally belonged. He's gone now, with the crowd up the road. But I shan't forget him, or what he said, and those eyes and smiling face. He healed me. Thank you, Jesus. I am alive, oh, and so very much alive. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I have been made new, a fresh start. I knew he would heal me, and he has. And it's here then that our story takes a turn for the worse. We're dragged back to Jairus, the woman she's never spoken of again. She undoubtedly left rejoicing, or she followed the crowd, whilst Jairus gets the news he was dreading. His daughter had died. He must have thought to himself that if only Jesus had walked faster and not spent time with the woman, he might have been able to save his daughter. Now it was Jairus' turn to have faith as Jesus proceeds to the house where the daughter lay. Just as the woman stretched out her hand to touch Jesus and receive healing, Jesus now reaches out his hand and takes hold of the little girl's and raises her back to life. And this morning, as we reach out our hands toward Jesus, you can be sure that he will stretch out his hand towards you. We too can be raised to new life and transformed to become more like him. We are created new. I want to finish this morning with some words from the Message Bible, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life emerges. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking of Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Amen. We're going to sing another song now before we receive Laura and Philip into membership this morning and come around the table. Let's sing together. Stand before the throne of God above. I have a strong and perfect plea. Let's stand and sing this together. Please be seated. I'm going to ask Philip and Laura if they will join me up here. In the name of our loving God, it is a joy to welcome Philip and Laura Staves into the membership of this church. They're committed to serving God in this community, and today we acknowledge and we thank God for that commitment. They've been disciples of Jesus Christ for
many years.
Many years. I wrote some years down here, but many years. And are transferring from Rockingham Road Baptist Church with its blessing.
That was after transferring from here to Rockingham Road.
So they're coming back to us again. It's great. So Philip and Laura, do you believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, your creator and redeemer and the sustainer of all things?
We do. This is the God in whom we trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life and witness of this local congregation?
We do, and we thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
We will. We will. Again.
You've got to get this right, guys.
We will. All.
No? Have you both got the same piece of paper?
This God. Is what we'll all look at. And again. We will. All we have is given by God.
Fantastic. That's all right. As Baptist Christians, we covenant together as a community of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together, we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. Philip and Laura, will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
We will, with God's help.
Bless you. I'm going to invite all the members of Desborough Baptist Church to please stand. And if you guys would like to say the bold text when we get there, that would be great. So members of Desborough Baptist Church, do you welcome Philip and Laura into the fellowship of this worshipping community?
We do.
This is our joy and calling. God has given us the gift of Philip and Laura, and through them has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support Philip and Laura in Christian service and in the responsibilities of church membership?
We will.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray for Philip and Laura and encourage them through hospitality, friendship, and prayer?
We will,
in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ. It is therefore my privilege, on behalf of the fellowship here, to welcome you both into membership and trust that God richly blesses you as you faithfully serve him within our community. Bless you both. Andrew and Annalisa, if you would just like to come and join me, we're going to pray for these guys. Andrew, pray for us, will you?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you, Lord, that you joined us together in your body in this place. Lord, we're reminded that there is one body but many parts, and we are each a part of your body. And so, Lord, we thank you today that you have brought Philip and Laura to us to join the body here. And, Lord, we just pray for them. We pray for your blessing upon them and all that they do with us, for us. Lord, we know that you're going to bless us together, and we claim this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Loving God, we believe you have guided Philip and Laura to this church, and we rejoice in the covenant promises we have made together. We pray that they may grow in grace, strengthen their faith and ours, and build up this community of your people, that together we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit upon Philip and Laura, strengthen them for service, and make them more like Jesus. Through your grace, empower us that our life together may glorify you and witness to a needy world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may all be seated.
Thank you very much.
Bless you guys. We're now going to come to share communion together. This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come. If you have much faith, and if you have little, if you've been here often, and if you have not been here for a long time, if you have tried to follow, and if you have failed, come not because it is I who invite you, it is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. And let's just take a moment to pause and ask God to bring out to our minds those things that we may need to confess to him this morning. Lord Jesus, when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. So now in gratitude we join together and we share this meal, remembering you, Jesus, and what you accomplished for us. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so we share bread together, eating individually in recognition of what Christ has done for each of us. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And we share this cup together, retaining it until after all served, and then we'll drink together as a body united in Christ. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Let's drink and remember and be thankful. We're going to stand together and sing our final hymn this morning. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Thank you, Brian. May the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen.